Tuesday, June 2nd, we start with a trivia question. Who has the longest active hitting streak in Major League Baseball?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of some
place
some
for
candidates.
The Blue Jays.
Blue Jays? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Blue Jays.
Joey Bats?
Incorrect.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, another loser. It's their good outfielder, Chris Colabello.
Get out.
Yeah, but it's a pretty modest hitting streak. It's an 11-game hitting streak. And you know how I know that?
Because you went on Baseball Reference Play Index?
No, I didn't. You can do it. It's so much easier to do it this other way. And I'm not a shameless plug kind of guy, but we have a blog on CBSSports.com/MLB every morning, the Eye on MLB blog, Eye on Baseball blog, and it will tell you basically everything you need to know about what happens in baseball. They do it every morning, and it's awesome, and it will tell you who has the longest active hitting streak. So Chris Colabello has an 11-game hitting streak. Alex Rodriguez has a 10-game hitting streak. Those are the only double-digit ones. Welcome to the show, Adam, Chris, and Al. And we've got, other than hitting streaks, some cool stats for you. A lot of your emails and tweets, some Joey Gallo stuff, Giancarlo Stanton, Albert Pujols, Jason Hamill, and emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, but also grade the trade today. Chris, I haven't heard from you in a while. Hey. I want to know what you think about Chris Colabello.
What do I think about Chris Colabello? Well, see, you kind of sprung this Chris Colabello topic on us, and I haven't thought about Chris Colabello yet. You want to give me like 8 seconds?
Yes, I would. Al, in those 8 seconds, how do you feel about Chris Colabello?
I'm still not buying it.
Now, I don't know.
I need to fill out a little more time here. I mean, he's just BABIPing his way through the streak, and so.
Yeah, that sounds like the right answer. He's striking out a little bit less than he has in the past, but it's not like we have any track record to go on. He's 31. I don't think there's anything there.
The only thing I saw was that he was hitting well last year, and then we know that it all went away very quickly, but he also had an injury that may have contributed to that. So I saw Colabello got dropped in one of my leagues, and I just don't know. I guess you guys aren't really buying it.
I just don't think there's any upside moving forward.
Okay, then, stat of the day. This stat is crazy. I have no explanation for it. Alex Wood, if you're looking at the way he's been pitching lately, 7 innings, 1 run, 7 innings, 1 run, 8 innings, 1 run in his last 3 starts, but you're like, where are the strikeouts? Only 11 Ks in those 3 starts. He has, they've all been on the road. In his career, Alex Wood, 10.3 strikeouts per 9 at home, 6.8 strikeouts per 9 on the road. He is a much better strikeout pitcher at home, and he has made 4 straight road starts. Does that mean more strikeouts are coming for Alex Wood, who's starting to pick it up a little?
Sounds like a reasonable conclusion. But I mean, and it's weird, but it would be weirder actually if the splits were reversed, because some players just really do play better at home.
Yeah, but that's usually the result of environmental factors like the size of the park or the elevation in Coors Field, where this is, why would he strike out more guys at home than on the road?
Like, I don't know why. I don't know why that many more.
Crazy. Yeah, like that's my thing is like, it's, if there's something that like I can't come up with a reasonable explanation for it, it's hard for me to like put a lot into it.
Well, he went to UGA. I think he's from Georgia. You know, maybe
he just really
likes the state.
Likes being in Georgia.
Yeah. And there's no other MLB team in Georgia, you know.
So it's the only one.
If they expanded to Macon, we could test that theory a little more.
Yeah, it's just strange. It's like, it's a big enough sample size in both regards, you know, 140 innings at home, 170 on the road, that, like, I don't want to dismiss it entirely, but I just can't figure out why, what a reasonable explanation for that would be.
Well,
it is interesting that he's only made 3 home starts.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You look at Alex Wood, and the strikeouts are a little low. Last year was a strikeout per inning. This year, 42 strikeouts in 62 innings, but gotta have some, I haven't looked at the schedule, he's gotta have some home starts coming up, because he's had 4 in a row on the road and only 3 home starts this year. But I think it's also encouraging that he's given up 3 earned runs in his last 3 games. And, he looks like he's pretty much back, right? Or are we still looking at swinging strikes and thinking Alex Wood is not quite that?
Yeah, the latter, which isn't a bad thing. I don't think he's back, but I think he is much improved over the first month. So barring just a horrid matchup, I'm all about starting Alex Wood again.
Al has Wood, 36 in the rankings. Hey, Chris, how have you been? How was your weekend? How you feeling? You were sick. It's been like a week.
I was sick last week. I'm feeling better. I think I'm sounding better.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I'm doing good. How's everybody else? I'm disappointed. You were, before the show, you were talking about how your Hurricanes did in the Coral Gables Regional.
Yeah, they whipped FIU, your team.
Whoa, you whipped. It was like a 5-3
game. It was 6-2.
Okay, that's within, one swing away if you have the bases loaded.
They more than doubled up, so.
They tripled.
Look.
5-3 sounds a lot better than 6-2, doesn't it?
We were right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It might as well have been 5-3.
Pay attention to college baseball. Super Regionals are really fun. The College World Series is coming up in about 2 weeks. And the Seminoles and the Gators are matched up in Gainesville in the Super Regional. And that is actually pretty cool. Those two teams hate each other, and they're really good. So check it out, everybody. Tweet of the day from Matt Hart says, Joey Gallo is getting the call. Looking forward to many My Cousin Vinny jokes. Don't disappoint.
Well, I think you should go on over and read a blog written by Chris Towers, which I haven't done yet, by the way. But I expect that it will be dead on balls accurate in terms of what to expect from
Vinny jokes.
Joey Gallo.
Okay, well, My Cousin Vinny jokes is it's Jerry Gallo in My Cousin Vinny. He says, Jerry Gallo's dead. I said Jerry Callow, Callo. I think that's what the joke is. I will submit My Cousin Vinny top 10 comedy all time. I want to know what the listeners think. So,
I'll buy that.
I can go that high.
That's amazing. I laugh every time I see it. But more importantly, we got to talk about Joey Gallo, who's going to fill in for Adrian Beltre, who's supposed to be out 2 to 3 weeks, making the leap from Double A, right?
Yep.
What do you think? Must add Joey Gallo?
I think his upside's so high that you have to add him, even with John Daniel saying it's likely only 2 to 3 weeks. I just think there's a scenario where he gets so hot that he forces their hand and they can't keep him down, even when Beltre comes up. I'm not sure exactly how that would take shape, but I feel like he's talented enough where he's the kind of player that they could find room for.
And I took a very different approach. I pretty much ignored this call up for ad drop purposes. And just aside from the fact that I don't expect him to stay up beyond Beltre's DL stint, the strikeouts are just really concerning to me. And I think if he can replicate what Javier Baez did last year, I think that's kind of, it's not literally the upside. He could do better than that, but I actually am not sure he will even do that well.
That's Joey Gallo going to be playing some third base for Texas. So two very different takes on Joey Gallo. I love today's show. I think there's a lot of, I love when there are only like 9 games and we can kind of dig into the data a little bit more. But some of the pitchers that we saw last night, we had, including Jason Hammel, we had just a bunch of top 15 starting pitchers. Now those rankings change every day because a pitcher can go out and score 26 fantasy points or rack up a lot of roto stats and they can jump a lot of spots, but DeGrom, Pineda, Garrett Cole. I know Felix Hernandez was terrible, but, you know, he pitched last night. We had some really good pitchers. We'll talk about those guys. But we have to talk about the eating habit of the day. Giancarlo Stanton eats Kit Kat bars like a total freak or monster or whatever you want to say. Did you see how he eats Kit Kat bars?
It's ridiculous.
Would you like to describe it for everyone?
He takes the 4 Kit Kats.
Right, they're all stuck together.
Bites into it.
Yeah.
Like a Snickers, like a giant Snickers bar with wafer.
There's no breaking. Ridiculous. There's no breaking off a piece of the Kit Kat bar.
He doesn't buy into their whole advertising premise, is what you're saying.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't care for it at all. And now Stanton went 1 for 4 with 2 strikeouts and a steal against the Cubs. I was actually surprised to see that Stanton is the number 5 outfielder in both points and Roto with just a .228 batting average, but he does lead baseball with 44 RBI. There's been, I saw an ESPN.com article talking about it. I heard the Marlins announcers talking about it last night. I'm sure you guys have seen it, are well aware of it. He can't lay off and he can't hit outside pitches right now, and he is striking out a ton. But what do you make of that with Stanton?
Well, you know, we've seen him have bad slumps before and look lost at the plate, and he always figures it out. And, you know, if this is, I think this is probably about as bad as it gets with Stanton. And, you know, we're not even a third of the way through the season, and he's got 44 RBI. So, I have virtually no worries about Stanton.
I wrote a blog post yesterday looking at the batted ball data from StatCast again after the first 2 months of the season. His average exit velocity is 98.3 miles per hour. Jock Peterson is number two at 95.3.
Wow.
So he's not just hitting the ball harder than everyone. He's hitting the ball so much harder than Jock Peterson that the next, that 3 miles per hour lower than Jock Peterson is like 30th.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So no, I'm not worried. He's got a really low BABIP on every type of batted ball, ground ball, fly balls, and line drives. They're down all across the board from last season, despite how hard he's hitting it. So, yeah, he's striking out a lot. I think that'll continue. But I think he still ends up at 260 and right around where we expected him.
Pride of the Marlins. Yesterday was a very good FanDuel day for me. How did you guys do? It was just so easy with the Dodgers, the Dodgers prices at Colorado.
Yeah, I did all right. I actually, my best lineup was a Jaime Garcia lineup.
Wow.
That won some money in a tournament. So
I actually did not play last night.
Oh,
cool. I just didn't set my lineup.
Get back on the horse tonight. Now, one big thing is you have to check weather. I played for a buck. I made $3. I tripled it, and I'm going to start up in my ante, by the way, going forward, because I'm starting to get the hang of it. I figured out the trick, and I'll reveal it later. But weather is very important. I did that with Wilson Ramos taking a zero. I did not realize there was bad weather in Washington. So they got rained out. They're playing a doubleheader today. Make sure you check the weather before the lineup set for FanDuel.
Yep, I had a version of my initial lineup that I actually sent out on Twitter. Had Bryce Harper and Russell Martin in it. And fortunately, I did go back to the drawing board because I doubt I would have won any money last night.
More about FanDuel. Offer code for you to use is CBSPOD. Get there right now. Start playing FanDuel. Make some money. Don't wait 6 months to play fantasy. Play every day or play any day. You don't have to play every day. There's no season-long commitment, and there are no sign-up fees, and entry fees start at just $1. So again, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code CBSPOD. Sign up now for every dollar you deposit. FanDuel is going to match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play, and we'll tell you how to win a little bit later. All right, some news for you. Oh, wait. Al had a crazy dream last night, and he wants to break it down on the podcast. Go for it, Al.
Yeah, I did. It's been a long time. Last time we did a dream analysis segment, you were opening the front door of your house with your car, if you recall, driving.
Oh, right. Right, yeah. Which never happened in real life.
So, yeah, this one's more, I guess, more fantasy related because I was in this room with this man and this woman, and they said, we want to know who your favorite ball player is, and we can get you anything you want from that player. And you know what I came up with? This really makes me question myself on a very deep level.
Wow. You came up with Brett Oberholzer.
I think that would have been almost less disturbing. I said Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes.
And the thing I wanted from him was he has some kind of pitch. I don't remember what I called it in the dream, where he actually chews the seams of the ball up to make it easier to grip. Now, I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
It sounds illegal.
Well, yeah. It depends on the weather. You know, sometimes you can go to the mouth on a cold night.
So
you wanted the ball?
Myself.
You wanted the chewed up Phil Hughes ball?
Yes, I did.
That is absolutely disgusting and hilarious. Al, you are a sick, sick man, and thank you for sharing that with us.
It's sure. Whatever you can learn from that, I hope you do learn something.
Now some news. Jose Bautista was in right field for Toronto at Washington last night before the game was rained out. Good to see he's back in the field. Jonathan Lucroy is back. Adam Warren is staying in the Yankees rotation. Chris Capuano's headed to the bullpen. Nobody wants to buy into my Adam Warren stuff. Last four starts, he's 1-3 though, but 2.70 ERA, good whip, just under one. 20 strikeouts in 26 and two-thirds, but he has allowed 5 home runs. Adam Warren. Chris, yeah. you haven't waited on Adam Warren. How do you feel about him?
Let me take a look. Sorry, I was doing some FanDuel stuff.
Ah! He's back on, everybody. He's hooked. Okay, Al, how do you feel about Adam Warren?
The same as last time, which is I'm not really interested outside of AL only.
Yeah.
And actually, I think Scott addressed it on yesterday's podcast, just saying that the peripherals are just not anything to get excited about. You mentioned the home runs. The walk rate is not terrific.
But it's better.
Judge Girardi agrees with you.
Well, I mean, he's better than Capuano. Anyone's better than Capuano. Okay.
Yeah, AL only sounds right. Even going back to his minor league track record, it's not like he was blowing guys away in the high minors. You know, an ERA in the high threes.
He's a different pitcher now. There's an evolution of him that I guess you'd have to see to appreciate. Because I thought he was going to be a pretty bad starting pitcher. And earlier in the year, he was pitching well, but he couldn't get through the order the third time. So it was always like 5 good innings and then bad. And now he's got a change up. He's just pitching well. I don't know. I think he's like 17% owned. I just want to put him on people's radars. And he's RP eligible. So for deeper leagues, Warren is pitching pretty well.
Well, hey, and you talked about the NCAA regionals. I've been to one college or World Series in my life. And you know who pitched?
I'm guessing.
That's right.
Adam Warren?
Adam Warren for UNC.
Did he chew any baseballs?
He did not. I think that is also forbidden in NCAA.
Steve Cishek. So bad they sent him to double A. Last night, Alex Guerrero sat. Justin Turner played third base. He batted second. And Enrique Hernandez played left field for the Dodgers at Colorado. And Mike Montgomery expected to start tonight for Seattle against the Yankees. We talked about him briefly yesterday, but just to bring it up again, is this a guy you want to get now before it's too late, Mike Montgomery?
Again, I'd say in deeper leagues. I mean, better in the minors this year than, you know, in a very long time. And, yeah, I think there's an opportunity perhaps for him to stick for a while.
Right. I mean, you hope that as a former top prospect, he's kind of figuring something out after. Do you have Tommy John surgery? He was just bad.
I think he was just bad.
Yeah, his control kind of left him. So that's improved. I want to see something before I go and add him, but I'll keep him on my radar.
Now it's time to talk about Monday's standouts, and later on we'll discuss Freddie Freeman, Andrew McCutchen, Jimmy Paredes, all those pitchers I mentioned, but plenty of your tweets and emails as well. Fellas, who would you like to talk about from yesterday? Could be someone I just mentioned if you'd like.
Jonathan Lucroy's bad luck continued. He had a 162 BABIP before going on the DL, his first at-bat of the night last night. Lines it to center, and Adam Azer's boy, John Jay, makes a sliding shoe-tops catch to rob him of a hit in his return. That was fun.
I mean, don't hit the ball to John Jay. What do you expect? Hey, actually, he was so good defensively last night, too. He was all over the place. So where's Lucroy in your catcher rankings, guys, or Chris in your theoretical catcher rankings?
I don't think anything that he's done so far should warrant him being lower than you would have expected. I think, if anything, he's maybe one spot lower because of how good Steven Vogt's been, but I don't think the 13 games that he's been able to play this season are enough for me to look at him and say he's no longer a top 3, top 5 catcher.
Gattis or Lucroy?
Lucroy.
I've got Lucroy second. And for what's worth, I'm sure this is probably the lowest ranking on the planet. I've got Vogt sixth.
That makes sense.
Well, yeah, because I do think that there's some regression. I think he's a good power hitter for a catcher, but I think there's some power regression. And when the dust clears, I'd rather have Gattis. I'd rather have Sal Perez. And I'd actually rather have Travis d'Arnaud, to be honest.
I'm keeping an eye on Salvador Perez, because he recently got hurt, and I think he's been terrible over like the last week. And
maybe give him a day off.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's like they're not going to let him rest.
Maybe just let him get one day off.
So, well, I'm keeping an eye on that. But you guys have, you and Scott both have Perez ahead of Vogt, at least in points leagues, in roto leagues anyway. And I'm not sure about points leagues, but, yes, you do. Okay, next up. I'll nominate Albert Pujols. 2 home runs yesterday, 5 home runs in his last 5 games. And Pujols is batting .254 with 13 home runs. He's gotten hot. What's crazy is he has 13 home runs. Pujols only has 26 runs batted in, maybe because he's batting .195 with runners in scoring position. I wasn't expecting this kind of surge from Albert Pujols. Do you guys think it's a sign of things to come, or just a little hot streak?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it either. I guess I do think it's a little hot streak, but given that it's not something I was expecting, maybe this is a case sort of like with Adrian Beltre before he got hurt, where I'm writing somebody off a little prematurely due to aging.
I mean, he's still like, I don't think I was expecting him to be as bad as he had been before this hot streak. So I think it's just regressing to his true talent level. It's just his true talent level is nowhere near it what it used to be.
Okay, that's Albert Pujols. Would you rather have Pujols or Freddie Freeman?
Freeman.
Yeah, I would definitely much rather have Freeman.
Sometimes when I try to make some trade offers, I look at teams and I think, all right, this guy might be willing to sell high on X player, and maybe he thinks he's going to be ripping me off. But you know what? I believe in X player, and I think he's really this good. I'm starting to think Jason Hamill has got to be in that discussion. He is a top 15 starting pitcher. He was really good with the Cubs last year. He was really good in his last 9 appearances, which were eight starts for Oakland. He was terrible right after the trade, but other than that little stretch, Hamill had a very good 2014. He is having an elite 2015 with 69 strikeouts to 7 walks in 67 innings, .9 WHIP, .282 ERA. You know, Al, you've got Hamill in your mid to late 40s in your rankings, and are you thinking about a rankings adjustment for Jason Hamill?
Yeah, I am. And I made one fairly recently because I had him, I think, more around 60 not too long ago. So I am starting to buy into the consistency. And, yeah, over the last year plus now, you know, close to a year and a half, he's been good with the exception of, like you said, a handful of starts after he got traded.
I would take him over Gio Gonzalez. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I viewed them sort of on a par.
I kind of hate Gio Gonzalez. He's driving me crazy.
But Gonzalez, and look, I mean, I've always been the first one to detract. You've been the first one to defend Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good buy low right now.
Okay. All right, I'll stick with you, Al. But I just still really like Hamill. I don't see what there is to doubt about Hamill. Yesterday he struck out 11 Marlins. I think he was pitching on 8 days rest, so he was pretty fresh.
He's got a little Phil Hughes potential, I think. That's my one thing, is he works so much in the zone. He's not walking anybody. He's got an almost 10-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. But he is a fly ball pitcher. He hasn't had good luck with home runs, 10% home run to fly ball ratio. But I could see him having a couple of starts where he leaves too much stuff in the zone against the wrong lineup, and it blows up in his face. But I still believe in him as a very solid option.
I think it's so interesting that you made that comp with Hughes, because somebody asked me a question on Twitter within just the last couple days about, is Hamill the next Phil Hughes? I thought, where is this coming from? Other than like you said, that he does pitch in the zone a lot.
Yeah, and it's one thing where he's not nearly as extreme. I think Phil Hughes throws like 57% of his pitches in the strike zone. Like, Phil Hughes plays with fire a lot more. But just the way he's getting to the numbers he's putting up, I think there's some danger there of a meltdown, but I don't think it's so much that I'm just selling high on him.
And we know who Al's going to be dreaming about tonight. Next guy. Mike Fiers, 6 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts at St. Louis. And that's now, the previous 4 starts, he allowed 2 runs in each of them. But he only pitched 6 innings in one of them. Fiers still can't go deep into games, but he's 69% owned. And I am so mad at myself picking up Mike Leake over Mike Fiers because I didn't read carefully.
Now they're both Mikes, 5-letter last names.
Yeah, I know.
You know, could potentially be complete sentences in both cases.
That's true. All right, 69% owned for Fires.
Mike Leake is more of a command, but anyway.
Fires, I still just have trouble bringing myself to trust him. I know he's been a lot better the last handful of starts, but he's not someone... I've said it before, he's someone that somebody in your league has to own, and I don't want it to be me.
I do want it to be me.
Nah.
But I don't know that I want to start him, but... Al, what kind of potential do you see from Mike Fiers?
I mean, potential, which to me equals upside, would be top 30. But he's going to have to find some efficiency.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, even with this start, just takes too many pitches.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
So that's going to limit him reaching that upside, but the strikeouts have been there. Since early May, he's been pretty effective, if not efficient.
Let's read emails and tweets. We got some good stuff here from the listeners. From Jim Lulo. However you want to pronounce it, Jim. On Twitter. Dear Curly Shemp and Joe. Who's Joe?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are your predictions for Jose Fernandez this season? Who would you give up for him? And Fernandez apparently had an amazing start.
You didn't notice that the sun was shining a little brighter yesterday?
Until the game started.
There were birds singing wherever you went.
I did not notice that.
It was happening.
Well, yeah.
Fernandez was pitching.
He's going to make a rehab start this weekend.
You guys want to drive out to Port Charlotte? Take a look?
I would like to because it's 50 degrees in New York in the mornings, and I am sick and tired of that. So I would drive from New York to Port Charlotte, wherever the hell Port Charlotte is.
It's on the Gulf Coast.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's a 20-hour drive. Fernandez, what do you expect from him rest of season? And I do think now's a good time to make a trade for him if Jose Fernandez is owned by a guy or a girl who is struggling in fantasy baseball, make them an offer they can't refuse. Give them somebody they can use now and you stash Jose Fernandez. What are your expectations, guys?
Yeah, I think he's going to be very, very good. Maybe the first couple of starts, you know, not a high pitch count, not a lot of innings, maybe even some struggles. But I imagine after that, he's going to be a must-start guy. And I'd be willing – a trade matchup that I think I would like is Lance Lynn for him. And I could see somebody maybe taking that.
That seems like a lot.
Not to me.
Just because you're still – let's say – Jose goes on his 30-day full rehab assignment starting on Saturday, so June 8th. He's back July 7th. You get one, maybe two starts before the All-Star break. He's probably going to be on an innings limit this season. He's definitely going to be on a pitch count to start. I just think as good as I think he can be, I still think there's enough reason to be concerned that I don't know if I could give up someone that's quite so good.
And see, here's my logic with Lance Lynn. Now, he's got a two-start week this week. I sat him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah.
See,
it was on purpose.
Tonight's,
don't feel bad for me.
Tonight's going to be a good night for him.
Yeah, and then and you're going to feel really good about that, and then he's going to face the Dodgers over the weekend. Lynn has really bad splits against lefties, and he's always had pretty bad splits on the road.
Yeah.
This is somebody you can't always – now, we'll see how this works out. Maybe this will backfire. But my feeling with Lynn, okay, certainly in one-start weeks, is that you're probably going to sit him about as often as you start him, and I don't even view him as must-start in two-start weeks, depending on the matchups.
Okay, but
so
how
I can afford to give up that guy for whatever you get from Jose Fernandez.
I wonder how long until Jose Fernandez is a must-start player. And we could legitimately be looking at late July before Jose Fernandez is truly a must-start pitcher.
Possibly. I'm a little more optimistic than that, but even if that were to happen, I mean, right now that seems like a long way away. You're thinking, you know, I'm going to miss Lynn or whatever equivalent you want to come up with, you know, for you know, several weeks. But I just think if it's somebody that you think that you could basically live without, you know, not one of your like top three starters,
right?
But maybe somebody who, again, like Lynn, who I think his value is over perceived.
Yeah.
You're going to be so glad when Fernandez is that must start guy, even if it's just for a few weeks towards the end of your regular season. You know, that could be a guy who makes a huge difference for you when those games, like in head-to-head, count the most.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a pitcher. You know, deal from depth on your team.
Yeah.
And get a great guy that you can stash. But that's the key. You say, if I take this guy off my team, is it going to really impact me? Well, maybe if you're crushing it in your league right now, you got someone you could trade. This just makes you even better. Chris Bunn, best hitting duo in baseball. Rizzo Bryant, Votto Frazier, Miggy Cespedes, Donaldson Encarnacion, Stanton Gordon, or other?
It's probably Trout and whoever, right?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
Rizzo Bryant sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Cabrera and anybody?
Brantley Kipnis.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the best ones right now.
I think, I mean, this list here is pretty good.
Cargo Braun should be on this list,
maybe,
too.
Maybe Donaldson and Encarnacion. I mean, they're not, neither one is, you know, one of the highest, but in terms of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Well, Donaldson,
I'm not sure there's anything better than that.
You know, I the reason I included this question is because I think we should talk about Edwin Encarnacion. I know you nerds love strikeout rates, and Encarnacion doesn't. He's not a guy who's supposed to strike out much, but he's striking out almost once per game, and he's batting .216 in his last six games. Edwin Encarnacion's 1-for-24 with no home runs, no RBI, no extra base hits, no runs batted in, two walks, six strikeouts. He's really not having a good year. He's batting .216.
Let me tell you this. I traded for Edwin Encarnacion yesterday.
Good.
So now I am not worried.
Okay. I'm not either. I just wanted to bring it up.
You know, he's never going to be a high BABIP guy. Him and Jose Bautista, both, they hit a lot of fly balls, and that's always going to drag their BABIP down. But even with that in mind, 213 is too low. He's going to settle in as a 250, 260 hitter before it's all said and done. I'm not worried about the strikeout rate going up. It's gone up the last couple of seasons, sure, but it's still not alarmingly high, especially with when you consider the fact that strikeout rates are going up league-wide every season anyway.
Cameron on Twitter says, 12-team Roto OBP League, is dropping Ozuna a reality now?
I don't think so, although it's interesting because this is, I got a similar question yesterday, but it wasn't an OBP League, and I didn't think it was in that format. Now, I'm not sure the OBP.
Five outfielders, he's not top 60 right now, but I think the potential is still there. So I don't think you can drop him yet.
Yeah, I would view it as a huge upset if he wasn't top 60 rest of season.
Mark in Tallahassee. Dear Frylock, Master Shake, and Meatwad, is it worth playing a high-end catcher like Jonathan Lucroy in a utility spot over a mediocre outfielder like Marcell Ozuna?
Poor Marcell.
Yeah, today's crap on Marcell Ozuna day.
God, Lucroy versus Ozuna.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be Ozuna.
I mean, that specific one, I think Lucroy's better.
Yes, but philosophically, you know, because I know, look, how many emails did we get, like, Yan Gomes is available, Travis d'Arnaud is available, Lucroy is available. These catchers had been dropped in a lot of leagues. So you have an opportunity to pick up a high-end catcher. Maybe now you have two guys that you really like. Maybe you have Yasmani Grandal and Steven Vogt or something. That's totally realistic if you played the waiver wire early. Do you guys put catchers in utility spots?
I have. It's never been, and I don't think it's happened maybe more than, you know, a couple situations. And it's not been a good situation. But still, if that's the hand that you have to play, I don't think on principle you should not play a catcher in utility. Sometimes your catcher will be your best utility option.
I've got Steven Vogt in my first base spot over Albert Pujols in one league, so I'm not opposed to it, no.
I'm more likely, though, and I think you guys would agree, to try to trade one of my catchers and get a, you know, an everyday player with more upside.
Yeah.
For utility. Okay. Jason A. How have you not seen, we got crushed for this, by the way. How have you not seen True Romance, written by Quentin Tarantino, starring Christian Slater, Dennis Hopper, Walken, Pitt, Oldman? And then he went on to list the rest of the cast. That actually is a pretty amazing cast. I will watch True Romance. I will try to do it this weekend. That's a promise I'm making to our listeners. Are you guys on board?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I think we should try to watch it this weekend, not together. That'd be weird.
Why not? We could just Skype.
Okay.
You know, talk about our reactions.
Okay. Fine. I'm in. Chris, you said it. Can't go back on your word now. Another tweet from Chris Bunn. Looks like someone beat you to Tater Trot. At Tater Trot Tracker, but at Tater Trot TRKR. They have a website.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. Tells you how long.
I think Baseball Prospectus used to do a daily update about the longest home run trots of the night.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was fun.
Stats have taken over baseball. Here's Dan Valen.
They're getting a follow.
Do you guys think Mike Fiers shutting down the Cardinals is a result of Jonathan Lucroy's return?
I'm telling you, he was so good
defensively last night. I don't know about him calling a game or whatever, but every time I turned, you know, I was flipping. He was blocking some. It wasn't just from Fiers. It was K-Rod too, but he was so good defensively. I can't imagine that didn't have some effect. It's a more important question, like, do you think it'll have an impact going forward?
Well, the thing is, last season, Lucroy was the third best pitch framer in baseball, according to Stat Corner. But Martin Maldonado was really good as well. So, you know, when I was looking at that earlier in the season, that was one of the things when I was trying to figure out the Mike Fiers thing was maybe it's the pitch framing. But Maldonado was just as good last season in a smaller sample, and he's been really good this season as well. So I don't know if that's necessarily a cause and effect thing.
I think Maldonado has, over the course of his career, been a good framer. So, yeah, it's not like in San Diego where, you know, they lost Rene Rivera and now you got Derek Norris, and I think you are seeing some big differences there.
Yeah.
Well, I think you just disproved the Lucroy theory, so well done. That's very good stuff. From Corky Ramirez in Miami, dear Keith, David, and Jerry, it seems Seinfeldy.
Yeah, that's. I'm not really sure unless it's Larry David. I'm not sure who David is.
Yeah.
Because it's Keith Hernandez, right?
Yeah, could be like Jerry Kuzman. Is there a David? We're missing Cone?
Cone?
Yeah, maybe. Can we trust rate stats for starting pitchers now? Basically, the question is there enough of a sample size with innings for strikeout per nine, walks per nine, strikeout to walk ratio, ground ball, fly ball, home run rates? What do you think? Are we far enough into the season where we can trust it at this point?
Trust K percentage and walk percentage more than strikeouts per nine and walks per nine still. Because we're still at a point where a bad pitcher, a guy who faces a lot of batters in an inning, will have an inflated K per nine and walk per nine because he's facing more batters per inning.
Okay. So strikeout percentage
is just... Does that make sense?
Strikeout percentage is just the percentage of batters he's faced that have struck out. All right, that's interesting.
All right, but...
I think that tends to normalize quicker.
Okay, so you're saying at this point in the season, we can trust those.
I think those are more trustworthy, yeah.
Yes. Now we're getting nerdy. We haven't had a Chris Al podcast in it's been too long. That was
awesome.
Weeks,
yeah.
Oh, you just blew my mind. From Jason. Hello, handsome, handsomer, and handsomest. What a nice guy he is. I'm in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. On Sunday, I picked up Steven Souza off the waiver wire. Yesterday, I was offered Lance Lynn for Souza, which I accepted. Everyone in the league had a major problem with it because Souza was just on the waiver wire the day before. What are your thoughts on flipping someone fresh off the wire the day after adding him?
Dear, I think Scott and I had a little sort of disagreement about this several weeks back. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, pick the guy up if you want him. Like that's,
but I think the idea is, well, this guy has no value because the whole league was passing on him, and now you're getting Lance Lynn for him.
Stop policing other people's teams. All right. If that guy wants to trade Lance Lynn for Steven Souza, if he didn't realize Souza was on the waiver wire, that's his problem. It's not your problem.
No, I mean, first of all, I think it was a good trade, right? I mean, I'd give up Souza for Lynn. You guys?
Yeah.
I think it's a good trade too, but I don't think it's a very uneven trade.
No, it's a very good trade. Yesterday, I traded Jung Ho Kang and John Axford, two guys I picked up off waivers in the last 2 weeks for Robinson Cano.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of bragging right now. I'm not even going to call it a humble brag. I'm just going to call it a straight up brag because that trade was awesome.
Yeah, well, how do you think Jamie feels about it?
Jamie feels great about it. Jamie and I pulled off the trade together. He's on my team, Al. I didn't trade with Jamie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we ripped off Swanee, who ranks higher than us in the company. So maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all.
I just knew you were involved and I heard Jamie talking about it.
No, Jamie and I are on the same team and best record in the league, boys! Jamie's very good at fantasy. What should I do with Matt Kemp and Carlos Gonzalez? This is from Matt in Seattle. What should I do with Matt Kemp and Carlos Gonzalez? Let's put Matt Kemp in perspective. Here's what he did in May. He batted 186 with three doubles and one steal in one attempt. Those were only extra base hits, those three doubles. Gross. And for the record, I sat Matt Kemp for Billy Burns. That's where I'm at with him.
And I think that's appropriate. I don't think you should drop him or Cargo, but I couldn't see starting either one.
Yeah. Three up, one down, rotation.
Chris, it looked like you wanted to say something.
No, I don't care.
I wrote about Matt Kemp at the Fantasy Baseball Today blog last week, and it's just he was always someone that didn't have the best approach at the plate. He's super aggressive, but he hit the ball so hard, so consistently, that he made up for any shortcomings. And this season, that hasn't been the case.
I did care, by the way. I was just messing with you when I said I didn't care. I always care.
It's fine. Just edit that out, and nobody gets to hear about it.
It stays. It's in the show. All right, three up, Freddie Freeman. So Freddie Freeman, you might think he's not having a great year, but he's getting hot. He's number 12 first baseman in fantasy in points, number 11 in Roto. Last year he was number 7 in points, number 10 in Roto, but actually having a better season based on his slash line, based on his fantasy points per plate appearance. It's actually a lot better. Now the thing is, he's hit 3 home runs in his last 4 games, so that has really changed things. Do you have anything to say about Freddie Freeman? A number that jumps out to me, he's batting .297. He's slugging upper 400s, I think. 29 RBIs, not very good, in 51 games.
There was a week period about a week ago where I used him every single day in FanDuel and he did nothing. So of course he's doing better now.
You know what? That's actually not that bad.
I was going to say, almost a,
that's not bad at all.
RBI.
I take it back. I'm sorry about that. Maybe I'm just Giancarlo Stanton's 44 just threw me off. Okay, now you can talk about Freddie Freeman. What would you like to say about him?
I think he's good. I think it's just he doesn't have the best lineup. And I think that holds his RBI total back a little bit.
And it's being held back to a 100 RBI pace. So
yeah, but for how good of a hitter he is, if he was in a better lineup, it would be even higher.
Guys, it's just so interesting to talk about players. Because you look at him now, .297 with 8 home runs, 29 RBIs, and 51 games. He's going to have a career year based on that. But if we talked about Freddie Freeman a week ago, well, he's not having that. You know, it's so different based on 5 games.
So this is a drug that gets back to the earlier question that even though we're almost a third of the way through the season, a lot can change in these stat lines in a very short period.
Yep.
Yeah. Andrew McCutchen, do you guys think he's back? Last 24 games, McCutchen's batting .381 with 5 home runs and 3 steals in 4 attempts, OPS over 1,100.
Isn't this what we were saying forever to start the season, that at some point this was going to happen?
I think, Chris, the one thing I'm encouraged by, 4 stolen base attempts in those 24 games.
Yeah.
Even if he just steals, you know, he stole 18 bases last year. If he gets to that, I think that's huge. I was worried he wasn't going to steal. But in that stretch with the 1,100 OPS, .391 BABIP.
Yeah, he's going to be a pretty high BABIP guy, though.
Yeah, so it's all right. So he hits .310 instead of .381.
Yeah.
I'll live with it.
All right, three up, number 3 is Carlos Beltran. In the month of May, he hit .298 with 4 home runs and 7 doubles. Anyone interested in Beltran? He's 39% owned.
Not that interested. Not really even because of the production and what that means, but just because I don't trust him to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's going to get hurt at some point.
One down, Jimmy Paredes, 83% owned.
Steve Pierce.
He's 1-for-20 with 2 walks and 11 strikeouts in his last 5 games. Actually, now it's 1-for-21 after the pinch hit appearance and strikeout yesterday at Houston. So he's sad. He's cold, but is he droppable? 83%, Jimmy Paredes.
I would say not quite yet. I'd give him another week just to see if he could pick up the offense and pick up his playing time.
Here's your 5-man rotation from yesterday. Gerrit Cole, Michael Pineda, and Jacob deGrom were all awesome. deGrom, by the way, is just tearing it up lately. Last 4 starts, 29 and a third, 3 earned runs, 34 strikeouts to 1 walk.
Ever since I wrote about him possibly having a sophomore slump.
Yeah, he's turned it around for sure. Most of those starts have been at home. That was only the 4th road start of his season, and he's much better at home. But great start on the road for deGrom. Cole Pineda DeGrom. Let's just start there. First of all, Gerrit Cole, Cy Young candidate this year?
Yeah, sure. Could be.
Certainly looks like it.
8-2 with a 190 ERA and over strikeout per inning. Do you have anything to say about Cole, DeGrom, or Pineda?
Not really, because, yeah, I completely trust Cole and DeGrom and Pineda. I think I've got in and around my top 20. Let's see.
Yeah, I love Pineda.
Yeah, I'm 16th, actually. Right behind Zach Greinke, by the way, and I know I've had to address a lot of people asking me why I don't have Greinke higher. And, you know, but I think that's pretty fitting to have those two back-to-back, because I think similar upside, similar consistency issues.
You know, Greinke is like a 100-pitch guy. I mean, he will not pitch deep into games. I don't know if he's pitched 7 innings once this year. I'll look up the game logs. But, I mean, they don't allow him, it seems, to pitch deep into games, which is kind of interesting.
Let the kid pitch.
Yeah, the kid. Next up, Andrew Cashner. What an interesting start. 4 2/3, 11 hits, 5 earned runs, no walks, 12 strikeouts. Was that a good start for Andrew Cashner?
I got to see what his game score was for that.
He's such a weird pitcher.
He really is.
It's just figuring out someone who throws as hard as he does, who never struck anyone out before this season. It's bizarre. It's really strange. But I do like that he's striking out a lot of batters right now. So I'm not concerned about yesterday's start.
Okay, and how about Garrett Richards? He's in a bit of a slump. 11 earned runs over 18 2/3 in his last 3 starts, 7 walks, 11 strikeouts. 2 quality starts in the 3 starts. He's not pitching terribly, but certainly not striking out guys like he was last year, and the control hasn't been great for Garrett Richards.
The control to me is more worrisome, because that's something that has been a problem on and off for him. I think there was some here. I know he hasn't made a ton of starts, but I think there was a string of a few where he was at least getting whiffs, and I don't recall the strikeouts. So I'm really not worried. No, he's still my star for me.
Oh, I am such an idiot. I feel like
Did you pick up Clayton Richard instead of Garrett Richards?
I would do that. Remember last year I picked up J.D. Martin instead of J.D. Martinez. I was so wrong about Greinke. But I do know that they don't want him to pitch too many pitches, but he has thrown over 100 pitches 7 times, never more than 110. He's pitched at least seven innings 4 times this year. He's just very efficient. I mean, he throws 7 2/3 in 103 innings against Milwaukee, for example, 7 2/3 in 105 pitches against San Diego. So I do apologize for that. I was totally wrong. Something I read kind of confused me. Strike it from the record. Edit it out, exactly. Just like the Towers thing. Fringy starting pitchers real quick here. Ubaldo Jimenez.
Not doing it.
Okay.
You can't make me.
Ubaldo Jimenez, Ryan Vogelsong, Jaime Garcia, Mike Fiers. Rank them.
Fiers, Jimenez, Garcia, Vogelsong.
Fiers, Garcia, Jimenez, Vogelsong.
Hey, rest of season, would you rather have Cashner or Garrett Richards?
Richards. And while Chris is thinking about it, his whiff log from April 30th forward, 11, 15, 16, 16, 5, 15, and then 8 last night. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the strikeouts.
I'll go Richards.
Oh, so you both say Richards. Okay, good. I know I've been hurrying you guys along. I want to get to grade the trade. Quick news for you. Yonder Alonso could be back soon. Deanna Navarro should be back today. Minnesota, Boston, and Toronto, Washington postponed. Toronto, Washington doubleheader today. Minnesota, Boston doubleheader tomorrow. Adam Jones was back. Tuffy Gosiewicz out for the year with a torn ACL. Denard Span was out of the lineup yesterday for the Nationals before the game was rained out. Cameron Maben's day to day. Hechavarria should be back soon. Logan Morrison batted leadoff last night. Robinson Cano second. Lucas Duda's day to day. Angelton Simmons was back to second in the Atlanta order. That was good to see. Jason Castro left yesterday's game after being hit by a pitch on the knee. Drew Pomeranz started a rehab assignment Sunday, and x-rays on David Peralta's finger were negative. Peralta was out of the lineup yesterday. DFS in a second. Here's some grade the trade of fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. From Josh, I get Jose Reyes. I give Jason Kipnis. I have Anthony Rendon waiting in the wings at second. Give up Kipnis and get Reyes in a points league.
It's really tough.
I'll give it a C plus, and that's with a little contextual extra credit because Kipnis is surplus for him. Or I'm sorry, Ray,
Kipnis is surplus.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I think a C.
All right, John in Culver City, 12-team NL-only Roto League. I've been offered Andrelton Simmons. I'd be giving up Gene Segura. Give up Segura to get Simmons. Here's the catch. It's a keeper league. Simmons, 2 more years at $9. Segura, 1 more year at $16.
Yeah, some extra credit there.
I feel like that's a B.
I agree.
And Julian in Los Angeles, grade the trade. Dear John, Jeffrey, and Tyrion.
Joffrey.
Wow.
Come on.
I'm going to be watching.
I don't even watch the show.
I'll be watching Game of Thrones today, catching up on Sunday's episode. That was pathetic. I'm way off. Remember my Granky thing? Jeez.
You're sick. It's okay.
12-team. I am sick. Thank you, Chris. Good excuse. That's really not the excuse, but that works for me. 12-team head-to-head points league. Give up Cruz and Zimmerman, Jordan Zimmerman. Get Encarnacion and Carrasco. Give up Nelson Cruz and Zimmerman. Get Encarnacion and Carrasco.
I'm going right down the middle with the C with this one. I think it's a slight downgrade from Cruz to E5 and a slight upgrade from Zimmerman to Carrasco.
That's a C+.
C+. All right, from Mike. 12-team head to 12 by 12. Jeez, I'm sick. 12-team 6x6 head-to-head categories league with OPS, strikeouts per 9, and quality starts. I traded Keuchel and Peralta for Jock Peterson and Sean Tolleson. Gave up Dallas Keuchel and Johnny Peralta for Jock Peterson and Sean Tolleson. And now I'll see this Escobar becomes his backup shortstop. Remember, strikeout per 9 league.
So Keuchel's pretty significantly less valuable in a strikeout per 9 league.
Get quality starts.
But quality starts helps.
But, yeah.
Okay, that's got to be K's for hitters, right?
Yes.
That makes Peterson a little less valuable.
Yep.
All right, the trade again. He gives up Keuchel and Johnny Peralta. He gets Jock Peterson and Sean Tolleson.
Yeah, this one's very even, too. I'll go C+ here.
I'll go C.
We'd certainly like to know more about his reliever situation because Tolleson could be a big add for him.
Yeah, very big, very interesting trades today. Right down the middle. Last one. This one's fun. From Kobe in Pennsylvania. 10-team points league. I need second baseman or a shortstop. So I give up John Lester and Chris Bryant. I get Anthony Rendon and Chris Sale. Give up Lester and Bryant. I should say, let's do a hitter then pitcher. I give up Bryant and Lester for Rendon and Sale. And he also has Frazier and Carpenter in the middle, in the third base. So it doesn't need Bryant.
Is it crazy to say I think that's like a B, B plus?
That's where I was going.
I think you might end up getting the two best players in the deal.
I'll go B plus.
Cool. Then DFS. A lot of games today. 17 games, 15 at night. So we're looking at the night slate. And the pitchers to pick on, maybe Sean O'Sullivan. Lefties are just crushing Sean O'Sullivan. They have a 1,300 OPS against him. That might have been mostly based on the last start where he got roughed up. But Cincinnati, you know, you could get Todd Frazier in there. Joey Votto is fairly cheap. St. Louis against Tyler Cravey. Is Tyler Cravey going to get lit up today by the Cardinals? He's a Brewers starting pitcher.
I think so. I think that's an excellent stack.
Right-handed batters
against Brad Hand.
Okay, right-handed Cubs against Brad Hand. That's good to know.
Handedness matters.
The guy I really want is Freddie Freeman. Not only is he red hot, but he's 8-for-15 in his career with a home run and 2 doubles against Josh Colemanter, and he is the 17th most expensive first baseman. So you could start your team with Freddie Freeman and then go from there. My lineup right now, obviously always subject to change this early in the morning. I haven't had time to dig in. Johnny Cueto, he's at the Phillies. He's the second most expensive pitcher in the night slate. Let me take a look at the rest of the slate.
Noah Syndergaard against the San Diego Padres, 8,300 San Diego.
Yeah. There are some very good options.
The win potential is not huge there. San Diego is decent. But I feel like he could strike out a lot of batters.
Yeah, and I like Lance Lynn at 8,800, guys, against the Brewers.
No park can contain Noah Syndergaard's power. So he might give himself a run. I like David Ortiz. I know he's been bad, but he's been, one, very good at home still this season, and two, very good against right-handed pitchers.
We still got to check to see if he's in the lineup.
If he's not in the lineup, fine. Obviously don't play him if he's not in the lineup. But 2,600 going against Mike Pelfrey. I know Mike Pelfrey has a sub-3 ERA, but Mike Pelfrey's not good. I think he could be a really good value tonight.
Yeah. I'm inclined to actually go with Chris Archer at 9,700.
At the Angels?
The Angels are a great matchup, especially for a righty. And I think that's going to be a safe play and, you know, much less expensive than Scherzer and Cueto. First start off, you know, his injury.
Right.
I don't trust.
Yeah, I don't know that you have to go Cueto because there are a lot of good options. Burnett at the Giants, Shelby Miller at Arizona. I probably laying off Samardzija at Texas, but that's just me. Gonna lay off Carrasco at Kansas City. I like Lance Lynn at home against Milwaukee. The only hesitation I have is he got roughed up by Milwaukee earlier this year, but that was on the road. He's so good at home. I think he's gonna win going up against Cravey. And he's, you know, good at home. Like I said. Yeah, Syndergaard's a good option. What about C.J. Wilson, 8,200 at home against Tampa Bay? They strike out a ton.
Yeah, but they also hit lefties pretty well.
Okay.
So I would avoid Wilson there.
I think you've got to stack Dodgers right-handed hitters again if you can.
And I have Yasmani Grandal as a lefty. I have Justin Turner.
Or left-handed hitters, yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay, yeah. Grandal's 3,300. I have Justin Turner. I have Howie Kendrick. I have Anthony
Ghost.
Yeah,
going against the contact hitter pitcher in Coors Field.
Anthony Ghost, a lefty against Kendall Graveman. He's only 2,700. He's been slumping. Graveman is just awful against lefties. So I imagine he'll be leading off today. Andrelton Simmons is $2,300. He's at Arizona facing Cole Mentor, probably going to be batting second. So my lineup right now is Cueto. I might drop down on, to maybe a Lynn or a Syndergaard. Grandal, Freddie Freeman, Howie Kendrick, Justin Turner, Andrelton Simmons, Anthony Ghost, Matt Holliday, 3,100, and Brandon Moss. Brandon Moss, Jason Kipnis, and Carlos Santana. They all have an OPS around 1,400 against Jeremy Guthrie. They're all pretty expensive, but they absolutely crush Jeremy Guthrie. And if you want to take a gamble, Ian Kennedy's been horrible against lefties. Curtis Granderson's 5-for-9 with a home run, 3 walks against Kennedy in his career. He's 2,900. There are just so many hitters going tonight. I don't know if I would even a guy with great BVP numbers, I don't know if I would go with a slumping hitter like Granderson with so many good hitters available.
Can I point out one thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about this. Nelson Cruz has always been very good against left-handed pitchers. This season, he has 1 strikeout in 37 plate appearances with 6 walks and an 18-20 OPS against left-handed pitchers.
And he's facing a lefty that can't get righties out, and that's CeCe Sabathia. So, all right, here we go. I'm getting rid of Cueto. I'm going Lance Lynn. Let's get rid of Matt Holliday and see if we can get Nelson Cruz in the lineup.
I think he's a must play. Just that number, that split. He's always been about a 920 OPS guy against lefties compared to like 820 against righties, but that split is ridiculous. And the 1 strikeout in 37 plate appearances is really impressive.
And now I have $700 extra because Cruz is actually fairly cheap at 4,300.
Mm-hmm.
So, excellent. All right. I'll be adjusting the lineup even more. Thank you guys. Oh, 2 guys I want to avoid today. Alex Gordon's 2-for-21 against Carrasco in his career. And Carlos Gomez is 3-for-22 with 2 walks and 12 strikeouts against Lance Lynn. And he's struggling too. Anything else?
Think I'm good there.
I feel like I always monopolize the FanDuel segment. So maybe it's just because I take a look earlier in the day, but
I think that would explain it.
I don't want to steal anybody's thunder here.
Nah, you can never steal my thunder.
I've got my thunder.
I'm sick. Give me a break. I'm sick. Chris Towers, Al Melchior, good to nerd out with you guys. We'll see you Thursday.
Hey, that was some sick advice you gave.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Ooh. Al, stay awake tonight. I want to know about your weird dreams tomorrow. That's Al Melchior and Chris Towers. I'm Adam Azer. Thank you for listening. See you later.